From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Hanukkah is this week, the annual Jewish holiday commemorating the rededication of the Temple in Jerusalem. In light of the holiday, we're joined by Rabbi Saul Prombaum, leader of the Sons of Abraham congregation in La Crosse, to talk about the local Jewish community and the current climate for Jews in the Cooley region, Wisconsin, and the nation. Rabbi, I wonder if you could start by explaining kind of what Hanukkah celebrates.
Well, okay. I think I can put Hanukkah into a nutshell. I think it was best summed up by the comedian Alan King. I think he was the original who said, they fought us, we won, let's eat. But actually, what it is, it's a commemoration of an event that took place in the 2nd century BCE in a climate where Hellenism had taken over the region after the death of Alexander the Great. And so you have basically these two huge Hellenic superpowers. You have Syria and you have Egypt. And at the time of the Hanukkah story, Syria was in control of what we call the Land of Israel. And what Hanukkah is was the attempt to curry favor with the local Syrian king. That is, it was a civil war where those who were in favor of Hellenism asked for the intervention of the Syrian king to come and support them against the traditionalists, what today one would call the Orthodox types. And so it was the Orthodox priesthood that won out against their more liberal co-religionists. And it's about 20, this is 20 years into a war that's been going on for a very long time. And they, 3 months to the day since the closing of the temple 3 years prior, they decided that not to create a new holiday. They decided they were going to celebrate the last holiday season-wise that could have been celebrated then, which was the Feast of Booths, Sukkot. And so if you look at the Book of Maccabees, you'll see palm fronds and citrons. The idea was to get back to business as usual. It wasn't for another 300 years that Hanukkah as a liberation holiday, basically one side wins, and it's the side that actually, believe it or not, makes it possible for Judaism to emerge and for Christianity to come into being, and possibly Islam as well. So if you don't have these hardliners then fighting against assimilation, you don't have the rest of the Western religious tradition as we know it.
And so what traditions are associated with the eight-day festival nowadays?
Ever since they decided how to celebrate Hanukkah, it has always involved preferably an oil lamp. But you know, those of us who use candles, it's just okay to light a candle each night. That is to increase in holiness by increasing the number of lights. This is based on a legend that comes out of this battle, that there was only one little flask of kosher certified oil in the temple they found when they had cleaned it out, and that it would take another 8 days to get more. And somehow that one little flask of oil was like the little train that could. It just kept on burning. And so what's the message, of course, is it doesn't take much light to dispel darkness. And so every night at this time of year when everything is getting shorter and shorter, days are getting shorter, it's nice to have this festival of light and the other ones that we have around us too.
And so are there going to be any special events in the La Crosse area among your congregation to mark the holiday?
Okay, we always have an annual Hanukkah dinner, so that's coming up this weekend. And that's pretty much what we do, because Hanukkah is primarily a home celebration. In fact, we're asking people to bring their what we call Chanukiah. So I can explain something. The word menorah in Hebrew means lamp. It's a generic term. And so if you have a lamp that has seven branches, which we don't use since the destruction of the temple in the 70, is if you don't have that kind of menorah, you use what's called a Chanukiah, that is a special menorah for Hanukkah that has eight lights, for this 8-day celebration, as if they were lighting at home, so that's what we're gonna do. It's a great time for candle sales, Hope.
So I wonder if you could share a little bit about your congregation here in La Crosse. You know, how many people belong to the congregation, and kind of what's the region that you serve?
Sure. Well, we serve about 70 miles around, and that's a very interesting reach, because it takes us to the fringe of at least a couple of established Jewish communities, one of them being Rochester, Minnesota. One of them being Postville, Iowa, which means that if you live in Winona, say, you have to make a decision where you're going to go to synagogue if you're a synagogue-going person. You could just as easily say go to Rochester at that point as coming here. We've always been around the same size, somewhere in the mid-40s in terms of membership units. We call it, just has always been that way. We've been on Main Street in our new building since 1948, and from 1905 until 1948, the congregation met in a house at 11th and Badger Streets, right near the studio here. And that house is no longer there. The address is still there. But I want you to know that what we call the Sons of Abraham is not the first Jewish community here. We actually have a presence going back to the 1840s. And I believe he was the second mayor of La Crosse, John Levy, was of the Jewish faith. He was British. Most of the Jews here at that time were middle-class German Jews. They probably didn't get along with each other.
How does, you know, maybe that history influence the Jewish community today?
Well, it's a good question. I'll tell you what most influences any community, and that's how the highways work. If I-90 had been in existence at the time that our synagogue was being formed, I do not know that we'd have a permanent synagogue in La Crosse, because it would be very easy to hook up with 94 and head to the Twin Cities. It used to be that the only way to get to La Crosse from Chicago was by Highway 16, which is still there. And, you know, it would be hard to imagine that one would take 16, but that's La Crosse was a destination on Highway 16. So we're very grateful. So it's the road, it's the traffic patterns that affect where a community will be. Now, if John Levy is purported to have been the first white settler on Prairie La Crosse, then it meant that there were traders here, and so there are other people coming here in different ways, probably primarily by the river.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking with Rabbi Saul Prombaum of La Crosse about this week's Hanukkah celebration and the local Jewish community. And so, you know, Rabbi Saul, how would you characterize the current climate for Jews in the La Crosse community? I mean, is this a kind of a welcoming community that recognizes, the people of Jewish faith here?
This is a great community. And I want to tell you what I have always taught kids in our religious school, which is, if you are not comfortable with who you are, people pick that up. And it makes, whether they know it or not, makes them uncomfortable, and it makes them not know what to do with you. So if you have a strong identity, people with strong identities respect other people that have strong identities, even if it's not theirs. So it's usually people who are insecure that have trouble meeting other people. So if you're proud of being Jewish, and people know that you're a Jewish, they respect you. And we've always had tremendous respect here. It's the nature of the community. I'll tell you, in I think it was almost spring of 94, when our cemetery was desiccated by spray paint. And we got phone calls from all over the area of people wanting to come and clean the stones. That was a very beautiful moment, knowing what kind of support, and that this is pretty much a zero tolerance community. We are still working, you know, with some groups that have, you know, come here from other places, but we have to make a place for everybody, and that's the La Crosse tradition.
And what do you think the current climate is like for, you know, people of the Jewish faith in the United States in general? We've seen a few, incidents I want to touch on, and, I just wonder kind of how you would characterize that.
Well, I'll tell you, if you take a giant step back, and I'm going to take an even bigger step back than I think you would expect I would, but I want to go back to, I think it was 1985, I think, when this poor guy who was off his meds went into St. Patrick's Church on Alaska, you know, one weekday morning, and murdered the priest and two lay people on the altar. And this sent a reverberation through the United States, everywhere, including ghetto communities, saying, nobody goes into a church and shoots people up, you know, like that. And it was a very tragic situation of a local fellow who had gotten off of his meds that he needed very, very badly. So it was at that time that I had to wonder, well, do I want to be in the synagogue if it's unlocked? You know, do I just want to have people walking in? And so there's always a feeling that when you're a public place, it doesn't have to be gun violence. It could be just people walking in for whatever reason. And I would say that we're certainly goosed up right now because of all of these shootings that are happening in different places against different populations, churches included, and places where people who are gay and lesbian and genderqueer, where they're known to hang out, and they are persecuted. You also have someone in Las Vegas that nobody even knew was a violent person taking his guns and taking out so many people. So we live in a climate where it's not just Jews who are feeling under siege, but I would say everybody. I think Philadelphia, given that it was Squirrel Hill, which was a very nice neighborhood. It just is one of those neighborhoods around which a city grew, and it came as a shock. And there are even people here in La Crosse that would hate to see us, shut down so tightly that people couldn't visit in our synagogue. But this is the way it's gone with schools, churches. You name it. There is security everywhere now, very similar to what they have in Europe, sadly, and have had it for a long time.
Yeah, you bring up the shooting that took place at a synagogue in Pittsburgh in the Squirrel Hill neighborhood just a little over a month ago, where a gunman killed 11 people. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how that event has impacted the Jewish community here in La Crosse.
People want to feel safe. They want to come to synagogue, and but if. I have to say it. If somebody wants to hurt you, they will find a way to do it. And I always tell my people that the security begins between the ears, and you have to be mindful of who belongs and who doesn't belong. And if they don't belong, you don't automatically assume that there's somebody who wants to hurt you. You know, this is the very delicate balance. We need to keep humanity alive in society, because otherwise we'll walk around with our faces in our smartphones and never connect anymore.
culture.
Yeah, I mean, how do you, you know, as a faith leader, you know, as someone leading a congregation, how do you walk that line between being welcoming, being open to the public, but and also, you know, keeping your congregation safe? I'm sure this is what a lot of faith leaders are asking themselves.
Well, sure. So let me give you an example. You may know that most people who are not in your congregation, if they have a reason to being there, so let's say they're a UWL student taking a sociology course and they have to come, they usually call me during the week, which means I look for them to come, and even I have them come to the synagogue before Saturday so that they can see what the place feels like. So when they come in, they just know what to do. So I call it the rabbi's list. And also, we have people who come in who typically know somebody in the congregation. And if they're a guest of the member of the congregation, that member should be there, and they should escort their guests in and welcome them and have us welcome them. And so it's, you know, we have a locked door policy now. It's not that hard to get in. But it is locked. It wasn't always that way.
That's Rabbi Saul Prombaum here with us today to talk about recent events impacting the Jewish community in light of this week's Hanukkah celebration. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. I also wanted to touch on an event that has recently happened a little bit closer to home. Wisconsin's been in the national news in the last month when a photo surfaced on social media of a group of Baraboo High School students doing what appears to be a Nazi salute.
Yeah, and I think the operative word is what appears to be. That is, I would be more convinced that it was if everybody in the picture was doing it. But it seemed like off to the side, you know, you have a bunch of boys who are just, you know, gooning around. And I say, you know, these kids didn't post the picture. It was a grown-up that my understanding that posted the picture. It got posted at the wrong time. This was around Pittsburgh time. And you have everybody reacting the way social media reacts today, which is to shame and to bully. The things that we do not want in society are now being done very handily by social media. Everybody weighs in, a lot of condemnation. The kids never had a chance to talk about it, never had a chance to redeem themselves, if that's what it really was. How are they going to get a break? This is where I come from on that issue. I could say yes, it is terrible. If it's actually reflective of white supremacist or a neo-Nazi belief, we have to nip it in the bud. But I'm not so sure in that case that is what was going on, and I need more information.
How do you think? I don't know, what are your thoughts on the way that the local officials, the school district, has handled this issue? Do you think there has been enough consideration of, you know, what actually happened?
Well, here's the thing. If you're in a position of leadership, you really have to take the measure of your domain. You know, so for example, if you're a high school principal, you actually work in your school, and you also work as part of the school district, and you have to listen to as much information as possible, and then you have to act in accordance with what makes people feel safe, even if one goes to the side of overreaction.
How can the Baraboo community, but really the larger community in Wisconsin who, you know, really reacted to that photo, how can we move forward? You know, what do we need to learn from this event and take forward?
Well, actually, one of the things that we need to take forward is something that actually is something good that has come out of social media, which is vigilance. The question is, what do you do with what you see and what you hear? And I think that you have to first and foremost Not put things up that other people are going to misinterpret. Now, that means you're going to be putting up a lot of skim milk. But that's the way it's going to be for a while. We don't, as a society, much have a sense of humor. We, you know, because of political correctness, I assume that someone who doesn't know me and is referring to me wants to hurt me, but which isn't necessarily true. And so I think that we're in the pendulum has swung so far one way. It has to come the other way. It doesn't mean that you'll let your guard down. It just means take a deep breath and ask, is this really what is going on? Do you want to perpetuate the culture of fear that is hysteria? Or do you want to really dig in and find out what's going on?
You bring up kind of the divisive culture that we have right now, the combative culture, some might call it, in the U.S. And I wonder what your thoughts are, the role of faith leaders in, you know, helping us kind of mend some of these divisions and you know, move forward from this kind of divisive nature we have.
Yeah, it's a very interesting question because I think if you had, you know, pastors, priests, rabbis come in, imams, I think that each would tell you that their setting is different, that what their congregation is looking for from them is either faith leadership or someone who has their finger on the pulse of current events, national news. Those, by the way, tend to be larger synagogues, where the rabbis who have been there for a long time, they can get away with saying certain things because their congregations are used to them. Other places, they do not want their spiritual leaders talking about certain issues in a society they come there to pray. I would not have lasted these 36 plus years if I did not set myself up against those who would maybe take a stronger line on most everything. That is, I create a space in my congregation so that people can express their opinions safely and not take a position from the pulpit that would automatically alienate half of my congregation.
We've been talking with Rabbi Saul Prombaum, leader of La Crosse's Sons of Abraham congregation, about recent events impacting the Jewish community in light of this week's Hanukkah celebration. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, including our conversation about a local nun being considered for sainthood in the Catholic Church, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers.